This is Metal Mike, and in this episode, we explore the later era of rock and metal, 2011 to 2021. It was clearly not the 80s anymore, but there's still a ton of cool releases. My buddy Ryan joins me. You gotta check this out.
Ryan, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
I'm doing great. Good to be back.
Well, we got an oddball decade here we're trying to cover, 2011 to 2021. And it's weird. I'm not trying to discredit any of the music from this time frame, but I feel like the whole year of 1987 had more going on than 2011 to 2021. What do you think?
Yeah, man. I scraped a bit, and then kind of the levee broke, and I did put together, I think, what would be a kind of a strong list with a really good mix of a couple monsters and a little bit of classic, but some really good new bands that I was pretty stoked to see come out and do a really good true to form job in this decade.
Nice. You know, I think for me, I actually pulled out a few that were rare for me. I feel like I'm always going to the same well, but for this one, this is like my oddest list that I've ever done on any of the shows, so I'm excited about it.
But yes, I do agree that 87 would probably kill this whole decade.
Well, the crazy thing, man, I gotta say, I probably got about four different messages within the last 2 weeks, and it's all from people that have like just discovered the podcast. So it's kind of surprising, you know. Like, I guess when you do something for long enough, I mean, people are gonna discover it. But now, like, you know, in case I was ready to like hang it up, I gotta get going. I gotta keep going, man. There's four people. There's four newcomers. So I gotta keep it going for them.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. I mean, it's hopefully they're catching on, and maybe they're listening to some of the top 10s and 15s and interviews, and they're getting introduced to new music.
Crazy, though, for anybody, there was one guy that said he started from the beginning, and I was like, oh, my God, like, there's like over 160 episodes. You got a ways to catch up.
I mean, that's kind of how I started. I started with Jay Pepper, and next thing you know, I pretty much have nailed all of them. You know, it's great. It's always good for the car and all that. So, yeah, you got some fans out there, man.
Awesome, man. All four of them. I'm stoked. there's a couple more than that. Okay. Well, we got a hefty list. This is going to be 15 from 2011 to 2021. We'll jump right in. You go first, buddy.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, cool. Well, thank you. Yeah, number 15. I have Shy. Shy's making a little return. So it was their self-titled, and yet another different singer in Lee Small. It's got a very good 80s keyboard driven AOR melodic metal. You can't replace Tony Mills, who we both really like.
Yep.
And I love the Welcome to the Madhouse album that we talked about in 94. But this is impressive for 2011. Check out Ran Out of Time. That could easily be like one of those 80s soundtrack songs. And then Blood on the Line is another one. It's a my only knock is it's quite the simple album cover. It's basically Back in Black / Metallica Black album. With just says Shy and like off white, so wow. But yeah, it's a cool album and very, very throwback ish.
They must have been feeling kind of shy at that time. They didn't want to put themselves on the cover. Oh, but I didn't know that they ever had anyone else sing besides Tony Mills. Did not know that.
Yeah, they had that other guy on that Welcome to the Madhouse from '94, and that's a damn good album. That was in my. Can't remember where it was, but definitely in the top 10 of that year when we did like 94, 96, I believe.
Oh, and that one had a different singer too. I wasn't picking up on that.
Yeah, it did, and he's really strong. So, you know, Tony Mills' Shy was the classic version and got a lot of good hits, but, you know, this is really, it's right there. I think this is probably when Mills was in TNT.
Probably, makes sense. All right, I got to do a quick one. 15 and a half. This one was on my list. It got knocked off the list. It probably deserves to be knocked off the list, but I'm going to at least just throw a shout out or a put down to Kiss Monster. It is my least favorite Kiss album. It's just the song quality is not there. The voice quality, especially of Paul, has hit a real plateau where it's getting pretty rough, the vocals. It's a vocal you don't necessarily want to hear on record. But a couple okay tracks on it that do stand out. Hell or Hallelujah was the first single, which wasn't bad. But the coolest song on it is All for the Love of Rock and Roll, sung by Eric Singer. So it's like you got a good vocal, you got a good song, but Monster is probably my least favorite Kiss album. So there we go.
I see. Wow, that's saying something for you to put it at 15 and a half fun of your favorite band.
Right. So instead, let's talk about Kicks, Rock Your Face Off.
Yeah.
This has got great sound, catchy tunes. I've never been huge into Kicks, but I really love Blow My Fuse. And I feel like this has a lot of the Blow My Fuse vibe. And it also has a lot of, it almost feels more classic rocky than maybe some of their stuff did in the 80s. But real catchy stuff, man. Tail on the Wag, Wheels in Motion, Rolling in Honey. It's a fun album. It's good stuff. So if you haven't heard that one, I feel like Steve Whitman, he sounds in prime form. The whole band sounds great, and it's good songs. It's good stuff.
Yeah, I like it. I had a major Kicks phase, and I still really love it. I do think the Blow My Fuse is still my favorite.
Yeah.
I'll have to re-engage in this one because I did get, I think it was called Funny Business or something like that in like the mid-90s, and then they didn't really do much till this one. So I'll have to get it again and check it out because it's been a while.
Yeah. You know what I think, too? I'm going to just throw this out there right now is that what I think, at least in my defense, what I think happened during this era is that there was so much stuff coming out, and this was the era of like streaming and listening to it online. And if like it didn't catch you right off the bat, like it almost... you got lost and you almost went to the next thing. So like you really had to be like playing these things over and over again for them to kind of get stuck into your head. But I do feel like there was albums, because I noticed when I was making my list, I found like there would be an album and I was like, oh yeah, I remember that came out, but I never went back to check it out. You know what I mean? It was just like, I don't know, time is just flying or you just miss it. I don't know. But so I feel like some of the stuff, it wasn't that it was bad. It just kind of missed my radar.
You know what? That's cool that you mentioned that because in doing the research per album, I would come upon a band and then go on kind of like tangents, and it would be like a member of a band from another classic band, or I would, you know, suggested albums. I'm like, whoa, you know, so it was like an eye-opening decade to study. So yeah. I'm really glad that we're getting into it again.
Definitely. What do you got for your next one, brother?
All right, 14. I got a band. I may be butchering it, but Osukaru, O-S-U-K-A-R-U, Osukaru. And the guy's first name is Oz. Let's just call him Oz. it's a Swedish band, I believe. And this guy Oz is the guitarist brainchild of this band. It's got this like total huge throwback catchy sound. It's huge. It's great. They have a bunch of albums that fit this 10-year stretch, but they get better as they get closer to 2021 and more of up like the big Def Leppard, that's that band BB Steel and like Big Winger first two albums and like up that alley of like really big catchiness. This album in particular is from 21. It's called Starbound, and I highly suggest this album and try songs called Shut It Out and Joker. And the only reason this album isn't in my top five is I literally just discovered these guys, nod to my buddy Nick who turned me on to them and knew that they'd be right up my alley, and it's only been like a couple months, so I haven't really mastered them yet, but highly suggest checking these guys out if you want to get that big throwback catchy sound.
Nice. Very cool. Never heard of that, but that sounds good to me, man.
Yeah, neither had I.
Catchy, Swedish. It's got a lot of the. It's checking a lot of the boxes.
I know.
All right, I had to put for 14. I got to put Stryper, No More Hell to Pay, And I think I wanted to just throw some Stryper out there because there's a lot of great Stryper albums that take place between 11 and 21. But does anyone really stand out to me more than another? That could be a process of just like too much coming out, not having enough time to digest it, whatever. But when I went back and I revisited No More Hell to Pay, it is really solid. It probably is more of the 80s vibe going on this one. Obviously, the title track's really cool. But there's a couple songs that really stand out to me. And they have for a long time, and that's why I put it on the list. But Water to Wine and Saved by Love. I love those songs. But listen to Water to Wine. It's so 80s. It's super catchy. It's like that fist-pumping type of a song. But you got to give Stryper, you got to give Michael Sweet and Stryper credit because they've really put out some solid output, or you know, some solid albums. But like I said, do they all do it for me? Probably not. But you know, another thing, let's just throw this out there. I feel like this is an era, too, where like, a lot of solid songs, but I don't know if it's complete great albums. You buying that?
Yeah, but I was going to say, like, every time you throw out a Stryper record on your list, you dig deep into the album tracks. And, like, without Water to Wine, I believe you talked to me about before, and it's, like, way down there, number 8 or something like that, you know? Like,
deep.
Like, you're preaching back to the album, tape, CD days when you actually had to listen to the whole damn thing, so I preach that you go off the album tracks.
Yeah, yeah. But I do feel like there's a few, and maybe we'll mention it when we get done, where like I really like one or two songs, but the rest of the album doesn't do anything for me. So then it's hard to put it on the list. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the thing with Stryper is like I'm a Stryper fan, but not a super fan. And when I see new stuff come out, which is a lot, I feel like their introductory single is Stryper being real hard.
Yeah.
And I kind of stop, and I give up a little, and I'm like, damn, you know, and like, the songs you've mentioned are not that, thus they speak to me more.
Right.
So I need to be listening to the entire album, as you suggest.
Yeah, you're right, because, you know, granted, they've had some heavy ones, but I think the era that most people can relate to is like, you know, To Hell with the Devil and In God We Trust and stuff like that. So and those singles were the first singles always were very commercial. You know what I mean? So like now when they come out, right, they're trying to be all hard and stuff. But I wish they would
today,
even to this day, I wish they'd put out a real sappy like commercial too, and it would be great.
I know.
I don't know. What are you gonna do? All right, 13.
13. I got a somewhat of a Christian-ish band. They're called Adrian Gale. And the Christian relation is that the lead singer is Jamie Rowe from Guardian.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so they have like a ton of albums, like 8 albums in this 10-year phase and around then. Their debut, I don't think, fits the – yeah, it's way older than that, but it's really killer. They have like 3 that fit this phase. Jamie Rowe is just that like hidden gem guy. If you haven't heard him in Dardian, you're like really missing out because I don't think anybody can listen to him and think that he has a bad voice. He's like Janie Lane. It's just like, he's just universally killer. Plus, and then doing a little bit of research, I didn't even know that Jamie Rowe was the singer for a band called Tempest. And there's 2 albums, Eye of the Storm and A Coming Storm. And they're from 88 and 89 respectively. And I had their tapes from like 20 years ago at the flea market. And I didn't even know it was him. He's a little younger and his voice is higher, but this band really delivered. They're just super melodic hard rock, true to form, big hooks, choruses. And I don't know if you like suggest or not suggest, but if these guys are in the Christian category. It's just Jamie Rowe was in a Christian band in Guardian. I just don't know if Adrian Gale is really fitting that one. But anyway, they're great. Check them out. I think they're all on Spotify. And I believe it's one word, Adrian Gale.
Hmm. Cool.
Yeah.
That's a new one. I haven't heard of that one.
Yeah.
All right. 13. I've got an oddball one that probably a lot of people haven't heard of, but I've got the band Station with the album More Than the Moon. And you heard these guys?
They're my next one.
Oh, sweet. So their singer, man, Patrick Kearney, I feel like he's like a – it's funny you mentioned Janie Lane because I feel like he's got some characteristics of Janie Lane and Kip Winger in his voice. He kind of goes high. He can be a little screechy, kind of like the way Kip is, a little raspy. But it's so melodic and so catchy. I love the title track, More Than the Moon, Cost of the Sand. That totally just reminds me of Winger. I don't mind. But, yeah, definitely a throwback band doing the 80s thing. And they're younger guys. And it's just cool that you know, there's some young dudes keeping this kind of music alive. So Station, More Than the Moon.
That's killer, dude. I have their 2015 one as the one that stand out for me as number 12. And the vocalist, actually, I have in my notes here, it says he reminds me a lot of the Heaven's Edge singer.
Oh, okay, so, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if anybody picked up on that or if you would pick up on that, but it might be more because it's on that second album, or the, let's see, oh yeah, the 2015 album, but I do have the, oh yeah, More Than the Moon, I said their second album was really great too. So anyway, I like the song Dressed to Kill and Bitter with the Better, and I thought they were like a really good retro-ish throwback band, so that's pretty cool that we had them back to back.
That is cool, very cool. All right, number 12, this is a weird one. It's going to make total sense to anybody who knows my music. So we got Animetal USA, man. Two albums of anime covers. We got Mike Vecera on lead vocals. We've got Pelletieri on guitar, Sarzo on bass, and I'm not sure. It's either certain albums. One album has Scott Travis. One has John Dete or whatever, who played. I think he was in Testament or something. Who knows? But some killer guys on the drums. And, you know, this is weird. This is probably not for everyone. But I'm good with this kind of stuff, man. They do, like, Dragon Ball Z songs and Gotcha Man and all this kind of stuff. But there's a couple cool things that I want to point out. Could I tell you like one song from another or what out, you know, the two albums that they have, they sound, it's all the same kind of stuff. It's just, you know, anime songs done in a better way. If you like anime, you probably would really go crazy over this. I'm not familiar with all those songs. But a couple cool things that they do is they integrate like metal riffs that you know, like Flight of Icarus or The Mob Rules. Like they'll just bust out something like that and throw it in one of these songs as just like a little morsel for you to pick up on your ears. But another cool thing I want to just mention about is Vecera. And I'm a Vecera nut. I've been on a hardcore trip listening to the Loudness Vecera albums over the past couple days. But one cool thing that he's really good at, he did this for the On the Prowl album. You know, they had Japanese lyric songs, and he rewrote them in English, almost even made them into different creations. And I feel like he did the same thing with these songs. These anime songs, I believe, are all in Japanese, and he kind of translated them and did his own thing in English. So this is a little trick that he does off and on in his career. Talked to him about it when he was on the podcast. But yeah, it's just it's a fun album. It's something you ain't going to listen to daily. But just everyone, you know, you might have a nice little happy head-bobbing, head-banging thing going on when you hear him. So yeah, Animetal USA.
That's cool. I remember him talking about that. He kind of off the cuff, very nonchalant, dropped that one when you guys did the interview.
Yeah.
And I never checked it out. I couldn't pick it out. So I'll have to check this one out. I know that the gaming world is sure lucrative, so hopefully he's taking advantage of that.
Yeah, and then he's done some Disney. He did like a Disney metal album. So Vecera just like, you know, he could do all these kind of crazy things and pull it off. So God bless him.
Nice, good.
All right, man. 11.
11. I got Great White in Full Circle from 2017. Mm. And I chose this one because it's got Terry Eves from XYZ. Mm-hmm. So he made two albums with Great White in his time frame. But I got to say, I really like this one a lot more. It's much more of like a full sound. It has that blues influence still. But with Terry singing, it definitely combines the hard rock stuff with their blues stuff. Because I like Great White, but I don't love Great White. Mm-hmm. They get a little too bluesy for me in some of their older albums. But when they rock it up a little bit more, I do like them more. So this one fits. There's a cool song called Big Time, and I actually saw them at the boardwalk. We have a beach boardwalk here in Santa Cruz, and they played that year. I think it was, 2017, and it was really cool to see them. So I really like this album, and I thought he fit great. I wish they still had him.
Is this the album that he called you out on that you hadn't heard at that time?
That's the one.
All right. Now that you felt guilted, you needed to get to know that album, right?
I did, yeah. And then since then, I really like it. So
nice.
That was pretty funny.
All right. Number 11. I'm smelling a conspiracy. Telling lies about me constantly. I had to go with a heavy hitter. Alice Cooper, man. Paranormal. And just want to say this is not his greatest album. It's a lot better than Welcome to My Nightmare 2. I hated Welcome to My Nightmare 2. I don't know why. I just I just dropped my recording device. No worries. I didn't like that album for some reason. I think I had really high hopes. It was the first album he did back with Bob Ezrin, and I'm like, oh man, Welcome to My Nightmare is so good. And the follow up was not good. That tends to happen. You know, sequels tend to be worse than the originals for the most part.
Right.
But there's some cool stuff on here. It's not his greatest album. I think he did way better albums, well, obviously in the 70s and 80s, but I thought Cooper was really hitting his stride in the early 2000s with Brutal Planet and The Eyes of Alice Cooper. But there's some cool songs. Dead Flies, Paranoid Personality. That's the best song on the album. That was the first single. So for that, when I heard that song, I was like, oh my God, this album's going to kick major ass. And it just really didn't. But it's got some solid tracks. Fallen in Love. All these tracks have like different guests. Like that's got the dude from Billy Gibbons from ZZ Top. And it kind of feels like Alice doing a ZZ Top thing. Public-Private Breakdown is another cool track. I want to say there's three or four tracks that he brings back all the surviving members of the original Alice Cooper band. So there's some cool things happening there. Not as good as some of the stuff that came before, but some pretty solid stuff.
What was better, this sequel or Operation Mindcrime 2?
Oh, definitely Operation Mindcrime 2. I'll be honest. Like, no, that's not as good as Operation Mindcrime. But there's a couple cool
good
moments. There's some cool... When Dio comes on and he sings the part of Dr. X or whatever, that's pretty cool.
Dude, yeah. I actually thought that was pretty cool, that whole follow-up album.
Yeah, they did all right with that one. There's a couple misses, but for the most... I can't remember. I'd have to go back and... what year was that album? Am I missing that on this list? Probably am, huh?
I don't know.
No, that was probably like somewhere between 2005 and 2007, I think. Somewhere in that. Yeah, that's when that was. Yep. Okay. All right, detour there.
Okay, we didn't miss that one.
All right, good.
There we go, 2006.
Okay. All right. No, number six? Okay. Hey, look at that. I was just using my brain. I was just guessing. I was right on the target.
Perfect.
Number 10.
Metal Instincts.
Yep. 10.
All right, number 10. So I only, like I said, only have a couple monsters on here. I got Def Leppard. I got Def Leppard's self-titled album from 2015.
Oh, nice.
And they got some really quality stuff on here in Let's Go and Dangerous, and they really carry the album. They have these very big throwback Def Leppard, it's very Pour Some Sugar on Me. And then they got a song called We Belong, which is really cool because it features all the members singing lead vocals. And after that, it's kind of typical new school Def Leppard, but it's still okay. But I would say like the first side of the album really carries it, and then the rest of it I could live without. But I did incorporate it because they gave it a good shot. They tried to give some Hysteria nod on this album, and it worked for a couple of them. And then they kind of treated themselves artistically the rest of the time. But yeah, there's only, like I said, there's like two or three giants on my list. Other than that, it's all kind of out there stuff. But yeah, definitely had to give Leppard the nod at number 10.
All right, number 10. I got Gathering of Kings. I'm going to go with First Mission. So I think this whole thing, once again, in the Spotify era, I'm going to be honest, you know, I don't have this album. I just jam on it on my Spotify. It's hard to know, like, who's who, right? So you gotta do a little homework. But I know the whole project's headed by Victor Olsen. And, you know, basically what he's got is he brings in different singers, you know, from all the different bands that play like that Euro metal. I don't think on this one, but I want to say the next album, and there's like three, they're all good. It's got the guy from Nocturnal Rites. He sings on a track. And basically, it's just a lot of those dudes from that, you know, genre that sing a track. So you might have three or four vocalists that kind of alternate, which also makes it kind of cool. Like, there's a little variety there. But it's very 80s. Very 80s. Forever in a Day is a great song. Savior, Out of My Life. And a lot of keyboards. Almost reminds me of, like, early eight, you know, like, or eight, maybe even mid 80s Europe, you know what I mean? It's got a lot of that going on. And it's just fun. I'm sure there's people that know a lot more about it than I do, but if you haven't heard Gathering of Kings, just plug that on, man. And you know, I'll tell you the funny story of where how I found these guys. You know, like, all right, I know this is an old man here, but you know, sometimes it could be on a Saturday or Sunday, I'm a little tired, I put on the Spotify and I take a nap, you know, and I have, like, I don't even know what I'm listening to. But you'll wake up to something sometimes that you didn't even, you know, select. Like, Spotify selected it for you. And I remember waking up to Gathering of Kings. I was like, holy shit, this is awesome. What is this, you know? And then, you know, then I went back to it for future naps. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, it was just, you know, no. It kind of popped up randomly on my Spotify. And been hooked on it ever since. Gathering of Kings.
It woke you up out of the REM phase, man. It says something about it.
You got it. Oh, my God. We're just cruising up through this thing. Number nine.
I got a band called Youngblood, and the album's called No Retreat. It's from 2012. So the story behind this album is that they had this album in the can since 89. But I just don't know if I buy that. And maybe it was, you know, maybe it's everyone's dream to have, like, an album like, oh, we're gonna quote unquote, I have this album that I recorded in 89, but I'm gonna release it in 2000 whatever, just to, like, basically make an excuse for writing an 80s album in the 2000s. But it sounds, I mean, it's very 80s-ish sounding, and I could be, you know, it could be a true story and I could be full of shit, but I don't know, it's too good to be true. It's like you know, you're running as a Democrat, and then all of a sudden you get elected, and you go, just kidding, I'm a Republican.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's about like that. So
it sounds like a hair metal conspiracy.
Exactly. There you go. We could have added that one. But it's a great album. It highlights, you know, got a lot of good highlights. Heat of the Passion, and my favorite song is called Back in My Life. I'd check out the album, and it's, you know, very well produced, big album cover. Yeah. I'd give it a shot. I just don't know if I'm sold on the fact that it's been sitting there for 10 years, 12 years at that point when it was released. So, yeah, check it out. Youngblood.
Yeah, you sometimes you never know with that stuff. Sometimes they're pulling your leg, sometimes they're not.
Good marketing ploy.
Yeah, yeah, right. That'll this was made in the 80s. Oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
So for number nine, I got Love Killers, self-titled. This has Tony Hartnell on it. It's a front. I believe this is a Frontiers creation. Like, you know, there's a bunch of, like, Swedish dudes that made some music that sound like TNT. Then Frontiers hires Tony and he sings on it. You know what I mean? I don't think he's super into this album. You know what I mean? I'm just going by some vibes I was getting when I interviewed him. I could probably, now that we're far away from this album, I could probably talk about it that at this point without any. And he's back in TNT. He doesn't give a shit. But I think there was some. He just wasn't happy with this when it came out for whatever reason. But he wouldn't really get into it. But Hurricane is a great song. It actually sounds like a part two of Intuition. Across the Ocean has got a huge chorus. And once again, it's all that kind of music with Tony Hartnell on it. It sounds great. Ball and Chain is another cool song. The whole album is good. You can just sit and listen to it. If you like Tony Hartnell, you like TNT. I mean, you don't have Latikro's leads in there, you know, and all the crazy shit that he does. But when Tony Hartnell is doing this kind of stuff, you know, it's definitely going to be good. And you know what else it reminds me of? It kind of reminds me of that Sweet Oblivion stuff that Jeff Tate does. I think this is same type of vibe, you know, like somebody creates something that sounds like the original band the guy was in, and then the guy sings on it. That's the vibe I'm getting. So could be like a manufactured project, but it's still a good listen.
Shit, I'm gonna check it out. I've never heard it.
Oh yeah, yeah, you're gonna like that. All right, man, number 8.
Number 8, I've got a band called Tokyo Motor Fist.
Yeah.
You know them?
Oh, these guys are great with Ted Poley. I kind of this is one I forgot about. Yep.
You know, I wish they wouldn't have named it Tokyo Motor Fist. I don't understand that name whatsoever.
No.
But, whatever. but this one, I got their debut from 2017. And all you need to hear to sell it on this album is the song called Put Me to Shame. It's got this Cinderella Def Leppard hugeness that is so perfect. But Done to Me, another song called Further Shows That Steve Brown Def Leppard influence on this. But the first song on the album also rules. I mean, it actually fooled me because it came up random on Spotify. And I was like, oh, what is this? This is killer. This has got to be something from 90. And it was this. And I was like, oh, shit, it's Tokyo Motor Fist. I better pay attention. So I believe they just have two albums, but Sounds great, and the guitar work is amazing. I would definitely check it out, and I'm actually kind of bummed at this point that it's number 8 and not higher.
No, you know what they should have named their project, dude? Danger Tricks.
Ooh.
Right?
Danger Tricks.
Danger Tricks.
T-R-I-X?
Yeah! And they already probably play songs by both bands. Come on, Tokyo Motor Fest or Danger Tricks with an X? Get the hell out of here.
Maybe even two X's.
Yes. The more of the X's, the better.
It wrote itself.
Yeah, dude. They just should have checked with me first.
They would have been wise.
All right. Well, I got to go to my usual bag of tricks, a band that pops up on many of my lists, even though I have had some rare ones. I've got to go for some classics. Iced Earth, Dystopia.
Oh, nice. All right.
This is the first one with Stu Block and on lead vocals. And the vibe that I kind of start to get with Iced Earth here is it almost reminds me of Yngwie, because like we've got all, like we always get a different singer after a few albums, it feels like, but then the singer's always good, but he's very similar to like a guy that might have been from before. You know, that kind of happens with Yngwie. So
yeah.
Tim Ripper is in his own category, but Stu Block sounds a lot like Matt Barlow, at least when he sings for Iced Earth. So
I was
kind of getting the Yngwie vibes, but you know, this is a typical fare. It kind of goes back between heavy stuff and like more of like dramatic and acoustical stuff. But I think one of their best songs, and there's no joke, I think this is one of their best songs, is called Anthem. And it is so catchy. It's got such a cool vibe. Everything about it is cool. But the title track's great, Boiling Point, Anguish of Youth. And I think the cool thing that happens with Iced Earth, and this happens on other albums, it's not just this one, it almost sounds like a different band from like from one song to another at times. So when they do that acoustical stuff, they almost give off like an Alice in Chains vibe. You know, when Alice in Chains does that, more of like acoustical stuff. But then when they do metal, it's like full on, you know, Maiden, Testament, you know, all that kind of shit. So I think it's cool. They have a cool dynamic, but, you know, I think for this album, there's only two dynamics. So it's cool, but it just kind of like, oh, we got our mellow acoustical dramatic song. Oh, we got a wicked heavy song. But it's a great album. And if anything, just listen to the song Anthem. It carries the album. So
nice. Yeah, I definitely had started listening to their whole catalog when you turned me on to them a few podcasts ago. So I'll dig deeper into this one.
That's what it's all about. We turn each other on to different bands, hopefully other people, you know, all those fans that listen in South Africa and Singapore, they discover new music. Let's go. All right, what's your 7?
Yes. All right, number 7, I got the band Heat. So
yeah, is this got Eric on it?
Totally, dude. They got like four albums in this era, but and two live albums, but their first one is that like super pure arena rock, and their second one is more aggressive, and their third is like almost industrial, but their fourth fits the time frame, and it's Heat 2, which I think is like a conscious effort to get back to their first album's roots. And you got Eric Grunwald on vocals, and that guy just freaking kills it. And I wished that the Skid Row album had come out in 21 so I could have incorporated it. That's how much I like that dude. Yeah. So he's a great singer, and he's just such a good showman, and he's so appreciative. He went through leukemia, so he's, you know, he's just even more appreciative for life, and he's just a good, seems like a great dude, and he's just so excited to be up on stage with that band. So I really like Heat. They were a new band that came out and actually did it for me, which is rare, like we talked about. But so I'm really stoked on these guys.
Cool, man. I do have a lot of respect for him. He sounds great. I'm glad he's in Skid Row. I've stumbled across some Heat in my day. It sounds kind of funny saying it that way, but it sounded really good. I just want to, you know, same thing I've always said. You're getting bombarded with different stuff, and you know, you're scrolling through YouTube or Twitter, and you give something a chance, and then boom, you're on to the next thing. It's kind of like they've created this weird, the whole world, the way the world operates now, you know, with social media, and it's like nobody spends a lot of time on anything. You know, they're just moving on to the next thing, and I feel like music's kind of suffered because of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's why, like, when you, like the Striper thing, you tell me an album track off a Striper album, that tells me that you really listened to the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it helps when you're, like, zoning out, like, if you're, you know, working on the house, driving, doing something like that, and you got something playing in the background, that's when you really let it play versus mindless scrolling like so many do.
Yep.
So,
oh, yeah.
But, yeah. This is a catalog that you could really just kind of let play, and you probably won't be disappointed.
All right, number seven, man. I got Kings of Dust, their self-titled album. Greg Chiasson from Badlands. It's his band.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
It's great stuff, man. It's like heavy metal blues. It's a lot like Badlands in some ways, kind of Sabbath-y in others. The singer, Mike Beck, he's great. And the craziest thing is if you listen to him, he's like Jeff Tate meets Ian Gillan. You know what I mean? Like it is
really
an oddball mix of a voice. And to even have the Jeff Tate thing going on bluesy rock is weird in itself. But it works. And it takes a little bit for like the hooks to kick in, I feel like, on this album. Like there's a lot of good jamming going on, and then I feel like you get like midway, and then all of a sudden they've really got the hooks going. You know what I mean? Like an Ocean, My Peace of Mind, Yeah, That's Me. Very cool stuff. Very 70s. Wolves. That's a nice song. That one sounds totally like Badlands. Very heavy. But
nice.
I think with this one, this is old school, and in the respect that I'll explain is that he mailed me the CD. I think it was maybe, I don't remember if it was before or after the interview, but he mailed it to me, and he signed it, which was very cool. And then turn, I just kept playing it in my car over and over and over again, and I felt like it was fun. It was like the old way of doing things, you know. I need to do that more often.
Oh, yeah.
Is the, you know, and people are probably screaming at me like, you should have been doing that all along. Well, you know, I'm a victim of the streaming thing, but it was just like going total old school, just jamming on a CD over and over again, and then it hits you. It's like, wow, this is great. You know, it's really, really digging it. And the whole album, it's like an album. It's not, this is definitely not like some, you're just gonna like a song or two. This is just a vibe. You gotta listen to the whole album, and it's just good stuff. I think he's doing something different. I think he's got a different singer, but maybe some of the same backup guys, and it's called Atomic King. So he's a great guy. I wish him a lot of luck in whatever he does. But you can check out Kings. If you want to be a streamer like I am sometimes, this is on Spotify, so you can check it out.
That's good. I remember the interview, and it's from 2020, if I recall. And the album cover was really cool.
Yeah, it is.
It was kind of
cool.
like a retro
in the desert or something like that.
Album cover.
Yeah.
I like it a lot. I'll have to check out the album again, though. It's been a while.
Yeah, number six.
Okay, number six, I got Kane Roberts making his return.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. That's right. He had a newer album in this era. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got, I think, a couple, but I chose the one called Unsung Radio from 2012.
Oh, that's like unreleased tracks, right?
Yeah, there's like a mixed bag of stuff. So he's got that that song called Reckless. And if you remember that movie Rockstar with Mark Wahlberg, when he went back into the studio after like he was kind of over it in the movie, and he started singing the song and he started like rapping, and they're like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, what? This is how you want me to do it. But it's this song called Reckless. And I always was like, whoa, that's a killer song. What is that? And then I listened to Kane Roberts and I was like, oh my God, that's that Mark Wahlberg song from Rockstar. So it's recorded. It's a great song. But a lot of this is from, I don't know if it's re-recorded or what, but it's from his band from 1999 called Phoenix Down. Oh. But it's a lot of really good stuff, and there's this stuff is more like his first two solo albums, which I obviously love. There is like a double disc out there of this with like 30 songs on it, but this one that I've been listening to has like 12 songs or whatever, and they're all really good. So I would give this one a shot for sure. It is streaming, called Unsung Radio, but it's very true to form, Kane Roberts' big stuff.
Yeah, I remember this album as well, and I got to go back and revisit it because I remember checking it out and enjoying it. But yeah, it missed my radar for this list.
Yeah.
All right, I'm so stoked to put this next band on my list this high. So number six. Called Salem's Lot, and the album is Mask of Morality. Man, it's so good. It's like thrash glam. It's like if you mix Blackie and David Reese and Lizzie Borden and all these guys, it's just, it's all this stuff thrown together. It's so good, man. Monroe Black is the singer. Like you said, he his voice, if you took the way David Reese sings on Eat the Heat and you mixed it with Blackie Lawless, and even maybe a little bit more nastier sound, and you'd get his voice on this album. And his brother Jet Black is the guitar player. Kay Chaos is on bass. He's also a really good lead player. He posts a lot of YouTube videos. You Can't Hide the Beast Inside, such a great song. Royal Desperado, Fatal Attraction. I love this album, man. And if you haven't heard these guys, you gotta jam on them, because it's such like old school metal that it's not even funny. The sad thing is I want to say this album was either like, it's like 2017, 18, 19, something like that. And they haven't done anything since. They've really been inactive on social media. I hope by being on the podcast tonight, this will rejuvenate their careers. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I do wish they would come back because they're a great band.
Damn, I've never heard of them.
Well, I'll be sending you some tracks.
All right, I'll check them out.
Oh, man, we're cruising. Number five.
Number five. I got your boys. Pretty Boy Floyd, Public Enemy. I got them going with Run for Your Life, Shock the World, Feel the Heat, 7 Minutes in Heaven. I mean, dude, those songs are all killer. They're like pretty much where Leather Boys would have been like a perfect follow-up, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Got that very consistent glam metal 80s with that tiny update, which really works for me. I don't want to insult you because I know you guys, you know this way more than I do, but this album is like just awesome. What was it, 2018, I think? I'm just so happy to see a band with the balls to release this in the modern day. Yep. So, yeah, I love this album. It's been one of my Pretty Boy Floyd favorites for a long time.
I'm glad you mentioned this album, because I'm going to just have to give some of my honest thoughts about it. And I'm just going to be honest. The Pretty Boy Floyd boys will forgive me. I don't like this album that much. I don't know why. My favorite song on it is Paint It On. That, to me, is a total glammy, typical Pretty Boy Floyd song. I love that song. Like, that's one of my favorite Pretty Boy Floyd songs. But the rest of the album, I don't know. They feel like they're just, you know, when you talk about Stryper trying to be hard, I feel like there's a lot of that going on here. Like, I just feel like they're trying to be, like, heavy in some spots, and it's just like, I just rather hear more, like, glammy commercial stuff. And because I loved Motherboy so much, and I even thought the stuff that for their follow-up, you know, like Desperate and Restless and Hands Off My Radio, Tonight Belongs to the Young. Like, I love all those songs. And this just, I don't know, this doesn't work for me. I don't know why. I want it to work, but I can't keep listening to an album and have it not connect. You know, just eventually there's just not enough time in the day for that kind of stuff. So just give my honest opinion. I don't love it as a whole, but I do like a few of the spots of it. So.
Oh, wow. I'm shocked. I thought you were going to have it at like number one or two, to be honest.
Oh, man. It's not even on my list. It pains me to say that. And I'm sure that Christy and Steve Summers do not approve, but it is what it is.
Well, maybe you'll probably have AC/DC and Van Halen as number one, number two.
There we go. Okay. one of those, for sure. Okay. All right. So, I'm shocked that I got this album on this list this high. And it's Manowar, Lord of Steel. And I guess me, that bad Manowar is better than most of the shit that came out from 2011 to 2012. So, or 2021, excuse me. But Lord of Steel has got some hits and misses. There's some cool stuff that I really like. I love the song Born in a Grave. I love Righteous Glory, Touch the Skies. Very kind of commercially, it reminds me of some of that stuff that like Priest did on Angel of Retribution. It kind of reminds me of that. Expendables kind of fun. I think Joey wanted it to be have a song in a Stallone movie, but Stallone didn't use it. So you got a movie called a song called Expendables. It didn't make the movie. But for me, the biggest problem, and it's sad, is that Eric Adams just sounds like he's kind of phoning it in spots. And he's got such a cool voice, you know. But I think they got the stuff tuned down kind of low. He's singing kind of lower, and he doesn't really break out too much on this one. But overall, like I said, there's quite a bit of it I do like. It's not their greatest album, but I think for this era, it probably holds up pretty well. So, yeah, Manowar, number five.
All right. Is this where did this rank in your Manowar top 10 or whatever you guys did that on your list?
I think
list.
We ranked the whole catalog, and this was like second to last. So this just shows you, it ain't my favorite Manowar album by any stretch of the imagination. But I didn't put it as their worst. No,
got it.
All right, number four.
All right, number four, I got Midnight City. You know, it's not too often I get reeled in by a new glam band, but these dudes really hooked me.
Yes, awesome.
I know Rob is a great friend to the podcast, and he's a total true rocker. I love his adoration for Danger Danger and his no apologies for all things glam. He's got his Tiger Tails ties.
Yep.
And just like that endless love for the genre. And I really dig their self-titled debut in 2017. So far, their new album sounds like it's going to be a great one too. So Midnight City, it's like I said, it's rare to hook me on something new. But dude, they really deliver.
This is another one where I'm feeling shame that I don't have a Midnight City album. Forgive me, Rob. I love you. No, I just, you know, I feel bad that I do like their stuff. It's just, I feel like there's just a big problem with what we did here, too, is that, like, we're trying to cover 10 years with 15 albums, and you just, there's something that's just going to miss your radar when you're putting the list together. But I think if I could do it all over again, I probably would have put maybe the second one, either the first one or the second one. But I do enjoy myself some Midnight City. Yes.
Right on.
All right, number four. Also, very happy to put this band on my list. And I'm going with Battle Beast. self-titled album, man. We got power Euro metal, right? But it's also mixed with, like, if you mixed old Accept and Wasp and Manowar and Priest. So you got that typical Euro metal mixed with some of, like, our stuff that we're very familiar with from the 80s. I love this album. And this is the first album they did with their singer, Nora. They've always had a female vocalist, but she's been the vocalist ever since this album on. And what's cool about this album, I feel like her voice has softened up on later releases, but there's certain songs, it's just so gnarly. It's like, how could this be a girl singing? Like, it's so, like I said, it just reminds me of the way Udo sings. It's just gnarly, you know, it's sick.
Really?
But it's very 80s, very hooky in a lot of spots. Out on the Streets is such a great song. Over the Top, you've got to check out Over the Top, man. If it was done earlier in time, they had a time machine, it could have been in the Stallone movie, Over the Top. maybe it is about the movie Over the Top. I have no idea. They just keep going, Over the Top. So that just reminds me of Accept. Into the Heart of Danger, Black Ninja. And there's other albums that are after this, like the Bringer of Pain album is really good. But instead of just putting all this stuff, you know, every one of their albums on the list, this is the one that hooked me. Still think it's their best album. And I do think they lost a little bit. The guy, their main writer left, I think, the album after this one, Anton. And he does the band Beast in Black. Have you ever heard of Beast in Black? So he was in Battle Beast. So he's very, most of his stuff is very 80s vibe as well. But yeah, give if you like Judas Priest, Manowar, Accept, and then you like Euro, you know, power Euro metal, modern stuff that's going on today. It's all kind of put in a blender, and it's great, man. Battle Beast.
Damn, I have to check them out. I've never listened to them, so yeah. I'll check out that debut album.
Golden. All right, number three.
Number three, another giant. I got Judas Priest, Firepower from 2018.
Yep.
Dude, what an album. What a great album. Evil Never Dies. I mean, that ripping opening riff and that sneaky Priest pre-chorus that absolutely sneaks up on you from that catchy mid-80s corner of Halford's brain. I mean, like, it's one of those things where you go, wait, what? Like, you're going to incorporate some, like, almost pop metal into this pre-chorus of this hard rock metal song? This is perfect. Like, it just sneaks up on you, and Halford seems to do that all the time. Never the Heroes got that killer mid-tempo thing. Flamethrower is a good throwback. I don't know, it's just a solid effort from these guys. And those guitars, dude, like, they're just so ripping and heavy on this album. And I don't know if you guys ever seen the video of the guitar player that suffered from the medical emergency on stage, but he had a AAA. I mean, that, if you're not in the medical field, that's like the kiss of death. Like, if that happens, you dead. Like, AAA, you're dead in like 30 seconds. You bleed, that's your aorta bursting, which is your entire blood supply to your entire system. And the dude played the entire song, played the solo in agony, suffered from chest pain, runs off the stage, and collapses. And luckily, they were in a state that had like a cardiac specialist hospital, and they saved him. But that will kill you. You drain out in under a minute if you suffer this and you're not around the hospital. So this guy survived. He's still playing, and he played this the entire solo going through this. So I got to credit these guys for that one. That's amazing.
Dude, he's so metal. This shit ain't going to touch him.
Not exactly.
I wanted to put this on my list, but this is an album that completely fell victim to what I've been talking about the whole time. Oh, Priest has got a new one. Let me scan it. Yeah, sounds pretty good. I'm going to give it a couple more listens. Oh, wait. Somebody else has got a new album. You know, it's like we call it the squirrel. You know what I mean? The squirrel's just jumping from thing to thing, or, you know, like a dog.
Yeah, look, squirrel.
A ball. You know, yeah, shaggy license plate. But one thing I want to say about this, there is one song that is very much connected to me, which I think is one of their cooler tracks they've done in a long time, is No Surrender. That's a great song. So catchy. I just wish they'd write more songs like that. I'm not bagging on Priest, but I always feel they always have to put that stereotypical fast track, you know, to start the, like, I feel like they fall into a lot of traps, and I just wish they would just play some good catchy songs. Don't worry about having like a speed metal song, you know, for the first track and this for the second, you know. I feel like they follow a formula. A lot of bands do. It's not anything against them, but yeah.
Right.
I do enjoy me some more catchier melodic Priest.
Oh yeah, well, hence the fact that Turbo was like almost my number one in 86 when we did that one, but when you got a song called Locked In and Private Property and Parental Guidance, yeah. Like, those are my Priest. You know, I have same. No shame in saying that those are perfect Priest songs.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, very psyched. I'm psyched about all these top ones because I didn't want to bag on this stretch of music because there's a lot of great albums. Lizzie Borden, My Midnight Things, man. It's like, it's very poppy metal, and it almost sounds like an early 2000s album. There's a lot of effects and kind of little bit of trippy electronic tones. And for an album that came out, I was bad with my years. I didn't write my years, but I think it came out in 18. It's weird that it has that kind of a vibe. I believe it's considered like a solo album. It's not necessarily a band, Lizzie Borden.
Oh, I see.
But it is so catchy. The title track is so good. My favorite song is Long May They Haunt Us. That's such a melodic, catchy tune. Run Away With Me totally reminds me of something like Motley Crue could do, the chorus. It just reminds me of something Vince would sing. You got your typical, you know, creepy stuff like I'm Obsessed With You and I think it's the last song, We Belong to the Shadows. Very, very cool vibe on that song. But the one thing that's missing is all that dual guitar Maiden Queensryche shit that he did, you know, in the mid-80s, like on Visualize and stuff like that. But I don't know if it's necessary. You know, like I said, good songs are good songs. He's a great singer, a lot of cool harmonies, and I'm a big fan of this album.
I'll have to check it out. I never listened to this album because I was focused on this 80s stuff.
Yeah, well, that's a good place to focus.
That is a good place, but
this is good.
If I'm hungry for more, I'll go to those songs you mentioned.
Yeah, good tracks. Okay, number two. I think I know what your one and two are.
Dude, I think these are going to surprise the crap out of everybody.
Really?
I got Steel City. It's called Dead Men. Tell them tales. And as I'm falling
through the black, I look into your eyes. Wow.
Yep, and my next one might be even more of a surprise, but I got Steel City. So this is exactly what an 80s ripper band needs to do if they want to make the fans of the 80s glam metal cast happy. So this is funny because you got two different lead singers, and I know you know this well because you interviewed one of them. But
I had these guys.
You got Brian Cole on the first album. And Rory Cathy on the second of Cold Sweat fame.
Yep.
And there's a big time Vinnie Vincent comparison with me on this one because they did that singer swap. The second singer had a name, he was more popular.
Yep.
But I don't know who I like more. And they recorded Back on the Streets on their first album,
nice.
Which is also on the Vinnie Vincent album. So
sweet.
To me, there's like this crazy comparison. But, I can't decide who I like more. It's not as heart-wrenching as like Bon Scott, Brian Johnson, Sammy
right.
Hagar, David Lee. Like those are obviously classic. I'll never decide, but I really like these first and only two albums from Steel City. And I love Cold Sweat, so I kind of tend towards it,
yeah.
But I don't know because that first album is really solid. So what a great album. I mean, if I'm going to be throwing out the Heats and the Midnight Cities and the Stations and this and that,
yep.
Steel City, like, dude, come on. This is hard rock, melodic hard rock, exactly how it should be delivered. So, like, you know, Kip Winger, take note.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's a song called, like, Dead Men Tell No Tales, like, on the second one. That's a great song.
Yes.
There's a lot of cool stuff on there. So I got to revisit that. I know I listened to it quite a bit before the interview, and I got to revisit it. But yeah, great guys, great band.
Yeah, that one is Dead Men, number two on the Mach 2 second
album.
Okay,
yep, there we go. All right, well, number two. And wait a minute, I must add, I'm shocked right now at you. that you have not put a Sammy Hagar album on this whole thing. He had to have done an album in this time period.
Don't care. Not incorporating it.
Okay, all right. I got you.
He's run his course. He's run his course in the '80s black metal cast.
All right, number two. Van Halen, different kind of truth, man.
Wow!
I love this album. You know, I'm not like your biggest Van Halen fan on the planet, but when Van Halen is hitting it and it's sounding good to me, I'm in, man. And I know a lot of these were like old tracks that were from like their first demo that they revamped. Yep. I don't really care what it is. I'm just glad to hear Eddie and Dave doing something at least one more time, and thankfully they did because Eddie has now passed and. It would have been a shame if this didn't happen. But She's the Woman, right. So cool. As is, Blood and Fire, Beats Working. It's gold, man. I dig Ross' sarcasm. Eddie's playing. I don't care that Michael Anthony's not back. I think Wolfie does a great job. It just sounds good to me. I was happy to get some Van Halen when this album came out. When did it come out? 12? Somewhere around there?
12. Yeah, 12. Yeah,
so I was happy, and I still can go back, and when I hear some of those tracks, I'm like, this is great. This just sounds like the Van Halen that I remember. Maybe a little, you know, worn in the vocal area, but I think he pulls it off pretty good, so I enjoy it.
I really, really liked She's the Woman and Blood and Fire.
Yeah.
I bought the album. I was super excited, and I do like it. It's in my honorable mentions, but... You know, I can't incorporate it even in a top 15. It's hard for me.
I got you.
And like I said, a lot of my giants are in the honorable mentions. So yeah, I got to throw out the randoms in there.
All right. Well, I'm very confused on what your number one could be. So let's hear it. Because of you,
dude, I don't think anybody can predict this one. It's a band called Stormforce, and the album is called Age of Fear from 2020. And this album fits my tastes perfectly. And it's from the ashes of one of my favorite bands called Brighton Rock. The lead guitar player teams up with a little bit similar to the Brighton Rock kind of acquired taste type of singer. But if every band could use this like updated recipe for the music, the world would be a better place. It's just a solid album, and I wish that the classic bands would look at the way these guys wrote music for this album and kind of take note, because I'll tell you what, dude, like if you put this side by side with something from 88, it might surpass it in being just ripping. So Stormforce, Age of Fear, 2020, from the ashes of Brighton Rock. It's great.
Well, shit, man. You're number one. I'm going to... even though a lot of times I say I'm going to check something out that you say and then I don't check it out, this one I got to check out because it's your number one.
You must.
If you know what you do, if you message me with it, I'll guarantee I'll listen to it. If you don't, then
I'll
forget. Yeah, because I'm a squirrel. Anyways, number one... Angel, Risen. I think this is one of the best albums by any classic band. It came out in real bad with the years again. I think it was 18. It's 18 or 19, but it was pre-pandemic. And this is just awesome. I didn't think I was ever going to get another Angel album. I know Frank Dimino did a solo album. Punky Meadows did a solo album. They sounded cool, but it's not Angel. They got a new lineup. And I think the thing that's really helping them is this guy... Danny Farrow, because he's their rhythm guitar player. He helps him write all the songs, and he's a big Kiss fan and a big Angel fan. So I feel like he's kind of helping them, you know, create things that are in the style of the 70s and whatnot. So I really like where they're going. This one's got some updated production, though. You know, it doesn't sound like a 70s album. We Were the Wild is a great heavy tune. Shot of Your Love, I feel like, is if Angel would have made a song in, like, 1989 in the hair metal times, that Shot of Your Love would be that song. But then they do total, like, some of that kind of stuff that you don't really care for, like the keyboard rock and the progressive rock. You know, there's a song called 1975. And it really has like a whacked out keyboard solo at the beginning, and it definitely sounds like a 70s song. They do some really cool like poppy tunes. I'm always down with like a real like something that could be like a poppy 60s song or something like that. So Tell Me Why is like that, and Turnaround just has that vibe of like a, you know, early 70s, late 60s pop song. But they kind of give you a whole buffet, to put it, I guess, that way. Is heavy stuff, commercial stuff, light stuff, ballads, you know, a little bit of everything. Songs that could be, you know, 70s, songs that sound 80s, songs of today. So they just write good songs. And it was good to see those guys back. And Frank Dumino was just on the podcast. So it was good, man. It's a great album. I definitely recommend it to everyone. So that's my number one.
Well, I was interested to hear what he was doing in the 80s when you interviewed him.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it was kind of crazy. He was like, oh, the 80s, oh, it's just studio work.
Yeah, like I'm kinda, like, you should have got a hair
like,
band.
What?
You should.
I know.
You could have like, had like a House of Lords band type of deal like Greg Jafria did. So, yeah.
I know. Yeah, like weird. If you say like some of these songs could have like Shot of Love?
Yeah. Total 80s.
Yeah, like that one could have been like a late 80s thing. Like it seems like look at the like the even like Styx and Triumph and like all these bands that were like very 70s, early 80s ish, they kind of thrived when it came to like late 80s stuff. They kind of got more killer.
Yeah.
Like totally. They could have been, they could have been that band. I wish they would have stuck it out.
Like, remember Styx did Show Me the Way? It was like early 90s or late 80s or something like that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
they could have did it. So I got no honorable mentions. So that's how rough this project was for me. So I got nothing. So you could rip out whatever ones you want to throw out there. So go ahead.
Yeah, I got a band called Palace. They're kind of like Station. They're kind of like more of like a Dare or a Giant. Seventh Key was Mike Slammer, Mitch Malloy, Fate, Bonfire, House of Lords, Reckless Love, 21 Guns, Heaven and Earth. AC/DC had two, Crocus, Scorpions, Van Halen, and Hardline.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all for the honorable mentions. But you know, there's my Giants were in the honorable mention. There was a couple, you know, Priest and Def Leppard and whatnot. But other than that, it was just a lot of good random stuff that came out.
Yeah, I like this one because it's got a couple oddballs that maybe, you know, people just haven't heard. I feel like when you're throwing out Scorpions or you're throwing out Kiss and you know. People are pretty familiar with most of their output, but throwing out some of those more unknown bands, hopefully people would dig them, you know? I'm excited about this one.
Oh, you know what? I forgot to mention / ask you. I'm surprised you didn't put Death Dealer on there.
Oh, Ross the Boss's band?
Yeah, I like that shit. Yeah. There was two albums, I believe, that fit the... Maybe even three that fit this decade. The first one and the second one had different lead singers, but yeah, I'm surprised you didn't have it on there. I like that. That's a good band. I thought
I even liked the Ross the Boss stuff. So like I said, I feel like it was just such a large area of time that, you know, some people just got lost in the mix. So if
I see
if you've been on the podcast and I didn't put your album on here, please don't get offended. It was nothing personal except your Pretty Boy Floyd. That was personal. No, I'm just kidding.
Nice.
Boy. All right, man.
This was cool. This is a fun one.
Yeah, this was good.
All right, bro. Well, it was good talking to you.
Same here, man.
Well, that was a fun one. Hope you enjoyed it. Rock on.